How many of you are believing God for more? How many of you need God to move in this new year like never before? And what it's going to take for that to happen is for us to believe. And that is our word for the year, that we are going to be focusing on believing. And all throughout this year, I'm going to do my best through God's word to challenge you in the area of your belief. Challenge your belief. Because I believe God's got some great things in store for you this year. There's going to be breakthroughs. There's going to be healings. There's going to be people saved. In Jesus' name, is there anybody who's excited about that? But it's going to take a people who believe. People who believe. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? And everybody, I just read statistics like 43% of people just stopped doing that, okay? But how many of you have visions, you have dreams that you would love to see happen in this new year? Well, here's what typically people make resolutions about. And usually, if you look at them, I did a little research here, it really falls into three categories. Number one category is money. People just, it's not so much that they need more money, they need to get caught up with their debt, all right? And maybe that's you, it's here, you're here today, and it's like, okay, I got to stop spending, I got to start saving some money here, and it's just like, because that debt is just getting carried away. The other one, a big one, is health, because people are like, man, I've got to do something about my health. I just was reading an article about a gentleman who the doctor, he was overweight, and the doctor said, you are going to die within 6 months because you have terrible liver disease. You're going to die. You have liver cancer. You're going to die. And this guy said, And he said, I'm just going to change my ways. And he changed his eating habits and changed everything. That man is still alive and kicked in. I think he lost close to 100 pounds, and he is doing great because he made that decision. But maybe you're here today and you got a really bad health report and you want to see God move in that area. The third one is an area of relationships. Relationships. And you just want to see your marriage turned around. You want to see your relationship with your kids turned around. You want more friends. You want healthier friends. You see, we create resolutions based off of things that we currently struggle with. And we want to see some of these things that we talk about here today, some of these things are impossible. You think about these things like, our marriage is never going to turn around. I'm just never going to be healthy anymore. I'm never going to be able to get out of this insurmountable debt. And see, these are areas where I would call these things breakthroughs. We want to see something happen in these areas. We want to see a breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. We want to see something happen. And in these areas, these are areas where I would just tell you, these are areas, if you're in need of a breakthrough, we cannot do it on our own. We need the help of God. We need a dose of faith. We need to believe. We need to believe. I want to ask you, what is it that you are believing God for? That is, what is that breakthrough that you need to happen? What is that thing, that debt that's so insurmountable, that marriage issue that we were struggling with? What is it that you are going to believe God for more in 2025? The word believe is defined as this, is to have faith or confidence in something or to think that something is true. Here's a few reasons why I believe what you believe is so important, okay? Here's what I believe about believing. First of all, I believe you are what you believe about yourself. I believe that. You are what you believe about yourself. For the most part, you are the person and will become what you believe about yourself. If you believe negative things about yourself, guess kind of what you evolve into? You turn into a negative person, right? But if you believe good things about yourself, then it usually you evolve into a positive person. Here's what else I believe. I believe you are where you are today in your life based on everything that you have believed. That makes sense? You are where you are today because you believe that you could achieve it, or you didn't believe that you could ever achieve it, and that's why you're always struggling. You've always wondered, man, what if I could have done this? So Henry Ford said this. He says, Henry Ford was, if you know this person, he was the one who revolutionized the automobile industry. And he was a man who, in a world of horses and buggies, he believed there could be a better way. He believed a better way. And so he invested into the future of the automobiles. And he says, whether you think or believe, whether you believe you can or believe that you can't, you're right. If you believe that you can, you probably will. And if you believe that you can't, you probably won't. Tony Robinson said this. He's a famous motivational speaker. He says, your beliefs have the power to create and the power to destroy. Now again, I just want you to know, this is not a self-help motivational message today, but this is a message that I believe can be life transforming for you. But again, getting back to his statement, your beliefs have power. Your beliefs have power. Michelle and I have been working with a couple in a different community, a pastor and his wife, and they are in a really, really bad situation in their marriage. And right about now, they are believing that their marriage has no hope. And what I've been trying to correspond with them a little bit and trying to encourage them and trying to inject faith with them. But you know what? If they don't receive faith, if they don't begin to believe in their marriage, guess where their marriage is going to be, right? Because when you believe it's over, it's over. It's over. It's not going to work out. And so this year, I want to challenge you. Maybe you're just like, I don't believe that it can happen. I don't believe there can be a breakthrough. I don't believe there can be a healing. I want to challenge you according to God's word. I want to challenge you in your belief. What is belief? Another word for belief is the word faith. You see, how many of you have your Bibles? Hold your Bibles up. You can hold up your phones too if you're using your phone as your Bible. Holding your Bibles up. Yeah. So this book here, I've gone through it. I've read through it a couple times. And man, I see story after story after challenge after message on this thing called faith. Faith. God wants us to believe. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, he's talking about faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, faith is confidence. Even though I cannot see it, I feel its effects. I know it's there. Now, a great classic illustration, even Jesus uses the illustration of the wind. Of the wind. You see, the wind, it's, you can't really explain. I mean, we have a general idea, but you can't see it. I mean, I'm looking out the window right outside now, and it's pretty sunny outside. I'm thinking, man, it could be 90 degrees outside, but you go out and you will feel the effects of the wind. You cannot see it, but I promise you, you will feel the effects of the wind because I shook a lot of cold hands this morning. A lot of cold hands. That's what faith is. Listen to me. Faith is the fuel to your relationship with God. Faith is the fuel to your relationship with God. Just as you need oxygen to breathe, so your soul needs faith to survive. Let me say that one more time. Just as your body needs oxygen, your soul needs faith. Your relationship with God needs faith. Faith is absolutely, everybody say absolutely. absolutely essential to our walk with God. If you want to have a thriving, growing relationship with God, you've got to have faith. It is impossible to have a relationship with God without faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us the same. There's a few verses down talking about the same subject of faith. The writer of Hebrews says, and it is impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Why is it impossible to please God? Because if you don't have faith, you really don't have a relationship with God. He says anyone who wants to come to him must believe. Same as faith. They must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. See, another word for faith is trust. Trust. The foundation, listen to me, the foundation, married couples here, married couples, raise your hand, married couples. Okay. The foundation of your relationship is trust. If you do not have trust, you don't have a relationship. You may have a ring on your finger, you may live together, but if you don't have trust, you do not have a relationship. And that's why I think it disappoints God so much. It's because if you don't believe me, if you don't trust me, but we can't have a relationship. You got to have faith to have a relationship with God. You see, in a marriage, when you trust your spouse, you believe that they believe the best in you. They want to have the best for you. Just believe it. Okay? You trust that they have your good in mind. You trust that they, when they say that they're going to work, that they are actually going to work and that they are not out being unfaithful to you. I just trust. You know, well, how do you know? I don't know. I just believe it. That just wouldn't happen. That's what you call faith. When that trust is broken, though, it's impossible for that relationship to grow until that faith is restored. You see, all throughout the Bible, there are stories of faith and belief. And that's what we're going to talk about this all this next year. This is going to be the year of belief, the year of belief. Mark 9, 14 through 29 tells us such an interesting faith story. There's this father, and he is having what you call a crisis of belief. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've had moments, and I still, every once in a while, I have a crisis of belief. A crisis of belief is that it's a moment when someone questions their beliefs. And, you know, it's okay to question your beliefs. I think that's important. I think that's how we grow in our faith, but it's where we go from there. And it's often we have a crisis of belief during difficult circumstances. Right? You know, maybe you've been through a tragedy. Somebody who passed away unexpectedly, and you found yourself asking, God, where are you? Anybody been down that road? You can raise your hand. A crisis. God, how could you have let that happen? God, why does bad things happen to good people? Where there's a story of a crisis of belief, and the story goes like Jesus had just had this moment of transfiguration, okay? That's just a kind of a different story, but it is just an incredible spiritual moment that he had with a few of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and where they just saw the glory of God, and it was just a powerful moment. And now Jesus is walking, you know, back from this moment, and he's glowing, and he walks into the, and he sees this crowd here, and he sees his disciples in this crowd, and there's arguing, and he sees these religious people, these religious leaders, and there's arguing and debating what's going on, and he just kind of walks in a crowd and like, hey, what's going on here? And it says when the crowd saw Jesus, they were like overwhelmed, like, God, that Jesus guy, man, he's here, that miracle worker. And Jesus says, what is this all this arguing about? Well, a father stood up to Jesus, and he said, I've brought my son to you because I've heard so much about you, and I I just believe you can heal him. Well, he said, well, okay, what's the problem? He says, well, my son deals with this evil spirit. And there's an evil spirit that possesses him every once in a while. And he just becomes violent and he just begins to foam at the mouth. And so the father said, I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't. And Jesus makes this interesting statement here. And he's not sure who he's talking to. But it says, you faithless people. In other words, people who don't believe. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? So a faithless person is somebody who is just unsure about who Jesus is. And he's frustrated by something. And I think he's frustrated by their lack of faith. And I think he's frustrated because, I think maybe he's frustrated with his disciples. It's like, guys, you've been with me for so long, right? And you've seen so many miracles. You've seen healings. You have seen the intervention of God. You've seen it. And why is it that you can't have the faith to believe in this situation? And so Jesus had the boy brought to him. And it said, when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the question, how long has this been happening? And the father told him, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into a fire or into water, trying to kill him. Now, just catch these next parts. We're going to put these on the screens here. Again, this father believed that Jesus could heal his son. And the father said to Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Isn't that interesting? You can tell that this father is in a crisis of belief. I believed enough to bring him to you, but I'm not sure. If you can. I love Jesus' response. Listen to his response. He says, what do you mean? What do you mean if I can? And then he asks, anything is possible if a person believes. Don't you love that part? What do you mean? I'm God. I've shown you this to you. I am God. I want to ask you this morning, what do you believe? What is it that you believe about this Jesus? Do you believe that he can? Do you believe that anything is possible if a person believes? And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I'm going to be honest with you folks. Boy, this prayer, as God has laid this idea of belief on my heart for this new year, I feel I have been praying this Father's prayer for a while lately. God, I believe. Sometimes I just struggle to believe. God, help me with my unbelief. It said that when Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion, and the boy appeared to be dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. If you look at the King James Version, Mark 9:29, Jesus says, this kind can only come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, there's prayer, but then there is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is like big time. This is like, God, I really, really need this to happen. I really, really want to see this breakthrough. God, I'll do anything. I'll give up anything, God. I just need. Have you ever prayed those desperation prayers before? God, I have tried everything, and it just doesn't work. And I pray all the time. And Jesus said, but this may be your situation. Maybe what needs to happen is there's prayer and fasting. You see, in other words, this spirit that was in this young man, it was a big spiritual issue. And you know, so sometimes we have issues in our lives, but then there's that one that's like, oh, it's always lingering. I'll be honest, Michelle and I, we have an issue that is really big and really lingering in our lives. And so it's to the point where it's just sometimes talking about it brings tears to our eyes. And we are believing God this year that this is the year of breakthrough in this situation. And we believe that this issue, it requires more faith. And what does that mean? And I was trying to figure this out, how to explain this. So when I was in high school, I used to be on the wrestling team, okay? And I was kind of like the 185 weight class. And then there was a few more, and then there was heavyweight. But then you had like the 104. Is that like the lowest weight class? I think that's like 104 or 98. I think 98 is like the lowest weight class back in my day, all right? Back in my day. So we had a guy in our school who was just a phenomenal wrestler at 98. I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, I was like 185, and he was pretty squirrely, so he could do a thing or two on me, but typically I just outweighed him, and I would just sit on him, and if I could catch him, and I typically won just because I was bigger than him. And sometimes there are situations in our lives that, like, we need a heavyweight. Like, this 98-pounder is not going to be able to take down this heavyweight. We need a heavyweight contribution. We need some heavyweight faith. And that's what prayer and fasting is. It's kind of like, this is a heavyweight situation, and a lightweight is not going to do it. It's not just like a casual prayer, like, hey, God, if you could just do this for me. And it's like, no, this is serious. This is heavy. You see, the people in this story, their faith was weak. They weren't sure what they believed. It was insecure. It was unsure. And Jesus challenged them to go deeper in their faith. And I believe that this year, God is challenging all of us to go deeper. It's time to go deeper. It's time to go to that bigger weight class, if you will. And I think some of the things that you are dealing with, you're wrestling with, it's going to take some big steps of faith. So this year, in 2025, I want to challenge you to grow your faith. Can I just talk about this morning? You follow along in your sermon notes. And I want to talk about four ways to grow your belief. And this first one I'm going to talk about, I just believe, is foundational. And I'm going to talk about foundations at the end, but I want you to understand, if your foundation is off, everything will be off as well. Everything else. How many of you have noticed that? So this first one, if you don't get this first one right, everything else is going to be cattywonk, okay? You got to get this first one right. The first one, if you want to grow your belief, the first one is you need to know who you believe. Know who you believe. Now, again, Jesus had just spent considerable amount of time with his disciples leading up to Matthew 16 here. Again, these disciples had seen miracles, breakthroughs, healings, interventions of God. I mean, you name it. They saw him do it, okay? There was no doubt who he was, who he said he was. And here we are in Matthew 16, and Jesus is questioning his disciples, and he says to his disciples, hey, say, who do people say the Son of Man is? In other words, who do people say that I am? And it said that they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Okay? So with that, I am one of these people reincarnated? Is that what you're saying? That's what people are thinking about me? Okay. And then he asked his disciples who have been spending all this time with him, and I just love the way he asked that question. He says, what about you? Who do you say I am? I just think it's so crucial that we ask ourselves that question. What about you? And I'm not talking about your parents, what your parents believe, what your friends believe, what your youth pastor, what your pastor believes. That's not the question. The question is, who do you say Jesus is? Look at Peter's answer in verse 16. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, better off are you, Peter, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He says, your faith has come to you by more than just what you've witnessed. The Holy Spirit has transformed your belief, Peter. And that's good. So I get back to the question about you this morning. Who do you say this Jesus is, this Jesus that we talk about every Sunday morning? Who is he? Let me ask you this. Is he who he says he is? The way, the truth, the life? No one comes to the Father except through him. Did he do what he said that he did? Can he do what he says he can do? Is he currently doing what he said that he would do? And will he do what he said he will do? These are so important for you to answer these questions. Your faith cannot take off anywhere else until you've answered this question. Who is this Jesus? The second way to grow your belief, once you've established that as your foundation, is to know what you believe. I think the biggest struggle in the church today, and I'm not talking about Thrive Church, but as a church in whole, I believe that Christians in today's day and age, I think the biggest struggle that people have is this thing, what I would call biblical illiteracy. You see, I believe that the majority of the people that are in this room, people who are watching online, they believe in God. But they just don't know what to believe about God. Does that make sense? We believe in God. You see, people come and they're like, yeah, well, the pastor says that I should believe that, so I guess that I should believe that too. You know, there's a lot of misconception. I'm thinking about talking about this year, but there's some common phrases that people, like if you were to give them a test, is that in the Bible or not in the Bible? In the Bible or not in the Bible? And I think there's a lot of Christians who would believe, like, oh yeah, that's in the Bible. Here's one of those phrases. God helps those who help themselves. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, that's in the Bible. A good chunk of people say it. Money is the root of all evil. In the Bible or not in the Bible? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Salvation comes from our good works. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. And no. And there's, again, because a lot of people, they don't know what they believe. They know what they believe. I'm getting confused here. They know what they believe, but they just don't know what they believe. They depend on others to tell them what to believe instead of discovering it themselves. I'm telling you, listen to me. You are never, never going to grow in your faith journey if all that you do to grow your faith journey is to show up here every Sunday. That's a big part of it. It's part of it. But Sunday to Sunday is not going to grow your faith. You being dependent on me to feed you is the definition of spiritual immaturity. Did I offend here? You depending on you, because we have a granddaughter. I don't know if I brought that up before, but we have a granddaughter. I wish I had a picture. But she is immature because she's not able to feed herself. But she's growing. She's growing, and there's going to come a day where she will feed herself. It will be messy. It will be all over the place, but she will soon learn how to feed herself. That's what spiritual maturity is. And church, I want to tell you, you have got to learn to feed yourself. You've got to feed yourself. Look at what God says about his word. We feed ourselves from God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, talking about the Bible, is God-breathed. Now, we've got to stop right there. You have to, again, go back to that first question. What do I believe about that? Do I really believe that all, okay, 90%. Like this story about Jonah and a whale. Oh, come on, man. What is it that you believe? Because it says all scripture is God-breathed. And therefore, it is not man who made it up, but that it comes from God himself. Is the Bible the actual word of God, or is it the word of man? Is it a guide for living or a book for suggested morals? It says here, it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look at this, Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God, talking about the Bible, is alive. It's not dead. It's not something for, oh, that worked for those back in those days. But no, it's alive today, and it can bring spiritual life to you. And it is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You know what that tells me? Like, when I get into God's word, things begin to happen to me spiritually. When I take it in, now listen to me. Not when I take it in here, but when I take it in here and allow it to flow into here, and then I allow it to work in and through my life. That's when it's coming alive. And then the psalmist tells us that your word, the Bible, it's a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And so for all of you here today, and you're wrestling with, I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. The psalmist tells us we have something in life that gives us direction. This is God speaking to you direction for your life. I want to encourage you to get into God's word this year and discover for yourself what you believe. The third way to grow your belief is to grow in what you believe. Now, I want you to listen to the story as Paul is talking to these people in Colossians, and he's talking to them about growing spiritually, and he's like, grow. Don't just read the word, but be intentional about spiritual growth. He says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, just as you got saved, don't stop there. But you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So what's Paul talking about? He's talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness in your spiritual pursuit. Spiritual pursuit every day. Why is this so important? Because look what Paul's saying. Listen, he goes, you guys have been having some problems with these. He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. In other words, he's saying, listen, a lot of you are being blindsided because you don't know what you believe. And there's a lot of philosophies out there. And they're communicating a lot of things, giving direction. But we have to ask ourselves, what does God's word have to say about this? And the last way to grow your belief is to live what you believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by believing, by faith, and not by seeing, which is feelings. You see, to live your faith is to choose to no longer live by your feelings. Does that make sense? It's like so much of our lives is like, well, how do I feel about this? And I just like, well, I feel like I should do that. Okay, how many of you, your feelings have gotten you into trouble before? You're like, oh, I wish I didn't feel that way. But my feelings get me in trouble all of my time. Because we're living, that's when we're being led by the flesh. But Paul says, what if we were to just change things around and we were to live by faith? And instead, because I'm tired of my feelings getting me in trouble, I'm going to start putting my faith in God and allowing that to lead my life. Here are three daily habits to grow your faith. First of all, is the Word of God. Daily get into the Word of God. And what we have for you as a church is we have created what we call SOAP. We're not the only ones. We're just duplicating it. But SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Practice. And so we have scripture verses for you, and you can find them out in the lobby at the Connect Center. But you can get SOAP, or you can go online at thrive715.com, and you can hear their scripture passage. Because all I know is when I read the Word of God, I need a reading plan. I would also encourage you, some of you, if you want to go deeper, I'm going through the Bible Recap. And if you just look that up at thebiblerecap.com, and it will lead you through reading through the Bible in a year and give you some observations to go through. But the second thing I would challenge you to do is, so if you want to grow in your faith, first of all, you got to get into Word. The second thing, you need to get into worship. And what I mean by this is daily prayer, weekly worship. Daily prayer, weekly worship. Prayer is when you connect with God, when you place your faith in Him. Prayer is when you bring your needs, those impossibilities, to God and invite Him into your challenge. And weekly worship, I worship God every day, but there's something about coming here and worshiping together. You grow stronger in your faith journey when we worship together. So the three habits to grow your faith is getting into God's Word, getting into worship, and last of all is your works. And some of you are like, well, what is it? We're not saved by works. No, you're not. No, you're not. But our works will reflect our faith. How we live reflects our faith. Daily do what you know is true. James tells us, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Daily find ways to practice your faith. Daily find ways to exercise your faith. Can I give the church a challenge? I'm into exercise, and I know exercise can be challenging and not always fun, but I love the rewards. Can I challenge the church in an exercise? We do this, we've done this every year since I've been here. We start off the new year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. I define fasting as this. Fasting is giving up something that I really like to pursue something that I really need. Because it just builds my strength. This is like me becoming heavyweight. I'm going heavy on this one. I'm going to trust God for more in this issue. So how do you fast? Quickly here, know why you're fasting. What is that one thing? What's that breakthrough you want to see happen? And then second of all, you choose your fast. Like, what are you going to give up? A fast is not only food, but it's something that you like. It could be, some of you are not going to like this, but it could be that thing where your thumb goes like this. Okay, I won't even say the word. Some of you, you really need to do that. Social media. Or maybe it's this. I just do this and everybody knows what I'm talking about. The binge watching. Or maybe it's the, some of you need to give the video games a break, okay? Saying, listen, that time that I spend, for me, I really need to spend that with God. Maybe it is a meal. I'm going to be doing what is called a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is basically, I'm going to eat everything that I dislike, and I'm not going to eat everything that I do like. That's about as plain as, you look it up, Daniel fast, you'll see what I'm talking about. But then I'm going to spend that extra time focusing and watch God show up. We have some things, a list of things that we're going to be promoting for you, and we have this in your bulletin. It's like a prayer guide. And the prayer guide is something like this. Hey, on Mondays, pray for, and this is what, pray for impossible breakthroughs and miracles to come to mind. So when you're spending your time tomorrow, just, I'm not going to define it for you, but you just, God, speak to me. What this is so good for is that you're practicing God speak to you. And whatever God begins to, whatever impossible situation comes to your mind, you just begin to pray about it. Just pray. Just begin to pray. Whatever is impossible, just say, God, I believe. I believe that you're able. And then Tuesdays, I'm going to pray for spiritually lost people and friends to come and to come to mind. And then Wednesday, I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for my kids. Just whatever. Just say, God, I'm just focusing on my family right now. God, whatever just comes to my mind, Lord, just, yes, Lord, I just pray you touch my spouse. God, you know what difficulty that they're going through. God, you know what the challenge my child's going through. And then Thursday, you're going to pray for spiritual revival in our country. Friday, pray for spiritual awakening in our community. Saturday, I'm going to pray for the ministries, the pastors, the leadership of Thrive Church. And then on Sunday is going to be my favorite day. Because I'm going to just go to God and not ask for anything. I'm just going to take that day and say, God, oh, you're working. God, you're working. God, thank you. God, I just give you praise for what you are doing. I'm just going to focus my time on God. So in closing, talking about growing our faith, growing our belief. It all starts with knowing what you believe. Knowing who you believe. Second of all, know what you believe. Number three, grow in what you believe. And number four, live what you believe. We have a gift for you that we want to give to each and every one of you as you leave today. It's a basket over there, there, and there. We ask that you just take one for you. And it's a stone. And on this stone, it says, believe. Now, the reason why we chose this is if anybody's a builder here, you know the most important part of a building is its foundation. If you get the foundation wrong, everything just goes cattywonk. And what we're doing is our faith is our foundation. And this year, we're just going to focus on building on this foundation. And I want to encourage you to put this in a place where you are reminded, maybe just put it up on by the sink and just like, God, this year I'm going to believe. I'm going to put my faith in God this year for that impossible situation. God, I am going to work on growing my faith through Christ Jesus. Amen? So we want to give you one of these things. The only thing I ask is that you do not bring this back next week and throw it at me. That's all I ask. I ask you. Can I pray for you right now in Jesus' name? Hey, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the most important part of this foundation. Invite him into your life right now. Just say, God, I need you. I recognize that Jesus is the Lord of all, that he died on the cross for my sins. He rose again that I can be saved. I want to live in relationship with you. Forgive me of my sins. I choose you as my Lord and Savior today. If you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, at the end of this service, I want you to go back to the guest center, and they have a gift that's going to help you grow in your faith journey. How many of you have an impossible situation right now? Will you raise your hand? Raise your hand. In Jesus' name, keep those hands raised. You see impossible situations. And we're going to be just like that father, and we're going to say, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, this year I pray that there's miracles. I pray that there are healings. I pray that there are breakthroughs. I pray that people are saved in Jesus' name in 2025. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.